Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5 UMFM.
On the radio.
And online, every Wednesday.
And the radio.
And the radio.
Every Wednesday.
If you miss us on Wednesday morning, you can catch us Wednesday evening.
Excellent.
I've actually maintained this.
Excellent.
I'm doing a good job.
Okay. Yes.
I'm safe spamming.
Okay. Megan, continue on.
Thank you. So on this show, we talk about video games.
Yeah.
I'm Megan.
I'm Alice.
We collect video games and play video games.
Yes, video games.
Sometimes.
Video games. That's about it.
Yeah.
That's all.
That's all.
Thanks for coming.
Goodbye, everybody. Yeah. Hope you had a good 3 minutes.
Video game. A minute. Yeah, not even. Wow, you thought that was 3 minutes? You thought, hi.
I'll drag out the introduction next time. Anyway, I have been looking for new and unusual games to fill the void until I get Silksong.
Oh, okay.
I really want something that, you know, was as fun as Hollow Knight.
But there's a lot of games like that. I think you're just too... We need to play them, maybe.
Do they feature bugs?
I mean, no, but it does feature very much like Hollow Knight. Like, I know that there's a lot of quote-unquote, I want to say, at this point, Hollow Knight clones, right?
Actually, I am going to go and try and find a quote-unquote Metroidvania for...
Hollow Knight clone.
Yeah, a Hollow Knight clone if I can, but I did find a game with bugs.
Okay.
It is called Webbed.
Yes, I've heard of this.
Yeah, I think you actually showed me quite a while ago, and I stumbled across it in my hunt.
I don't remember. Steam kept on popping it up. To be honest with you, I didn't realize it was pixels. I thought it was 3D, but that's possibly because the art, the splash art is 3D or something, or it's a high-res, painted image something. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, it looks great, though.
It looks great.
Great pixel art.
Yeah, it's fantastic pixel art. This comes to you by Sbug, S-B-U-G Games, out of Queensland, Australia.
Okay.
It came out September 9th, 2021, so this year. It's still quite a new game.
Mm-hmm.
And it is $11.49 on Steam, so it is not an expensive game.
I wonder if Australia does I think they might give, a video game credit or, something like that.
That would be amazing if they do. We should look into that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I've been playing... There's a game that I just played that was hardcore sponsored, so it's interesting.
If they give a film... Or, sorry, a video game credit in the same way that they give film and TV credits here, that would be an amazing thing for their industry. Mm. And I wish it was something they do here.
Yeah.
Or if it were more aware of here. Anyway... you play as a jumping spider, specifically of the peacock variety.
Okay.
And you have finally met a very lovely blue mate. And the two of you dance. You dance, he dances, and he leads you to a very shiny, very pretty web.
Okay.
And then disaster strikes, and a bird comes in and steals your very new, very pretty mate away.
Okay, so you think that your person is still alive.
You think
Megan. I'm just pointing that out. I'm just like you think your spider mate is still alive?
You actually.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it is implied that he is still alive because after this massive destruction of your brand new home and the kidnapping of your very lovely blue jumping spider boyfriend, a moth comes down and is like, "Yeah, I saw that happen. That bird ate a lot of my friends." But I happen to have it on good authority. He has other plans for your fella.
Okay.
So, the moth relays to you that it has a giant silk ball at the top of the tree, and it has been asked by the ants that live underneath the tree to use it to create an airship.
Okay.
Yeah, it dives right out of the realism, and now you're building a bug-infested airship.
Okay.
So... You go in and you recruit the ants to help, but the ants want you to make a giant mecha ant to go and fight fire ants.
Okay.
So this is where the puzzle solving comes in, because you have to go and collect parts, rescue baby bugs, so ant larvae, spiderlings, eat flies. It's, yeah, it goes a little off the wall a little bit. It's really quite fun, though. You have to traverse mud, you have to go through fire, which I'm not sure how fire is surviving underground, but it is. Mm-hmm. And there's actually a skating mini game that I stumbled across, where you meet this giant pink bird and you have to collect letters that spell out webbed. I don't know what you get at the end. I'm not very good at skateboard games, mm-hmm. but it's there if you want something a little bit different than the puzzle platforming. This is an all pixelated game. It is a puzzle platformer, like I said. You can shoot webs, you can grapple, you can shoot laser beams.
Oh, wow. This is a technically heavy spider.
This is a technically heavy spider.
Yeah.
Well, how else are you going to break down walls and destroy webs that just don't work anymore?
I don't know. Go around them because you're a spider and can crawl.
Yeah, but if you have the giant iron mandibles that you need for your giant robot ant, and you happen to get it locked somewhere that you can't get it down, you can't destroy the web, how else are you going to do that? I think a normal spider would use their own jaws, but no, you're armed with lasers.
It's fine.
It's fine. But that was the first part of the game. I'm now getting to the point where I'm meeting the bees, and I have to go even further up into the tree to try and find some bees that are willing to reinforce the silky airship part. I've got the ants to do the rest of it to build the cabin. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at now. Right now I'm in a part that's a lot of platforming, and it is getting a little difficult. I want to see if I can hook up the controller.
Yeah.
Because my hand cannot do the WASD for very long, because I keep destroying my webs with the laser.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the E button.
Okay.
But this game is just so cute. It is so fun. I love the music. The music actually reminds me of Super Mario World.
Oh, yeah. Neat.
It's just that weird jauntiness, cute jauntiness of it all, and it will only play so long as you're moving. So once you stop, you can just kind of take in the quiet forest ambiance.
Okay.
Until you want to keep going. So go and check out Webbed. It is well worth just playing. I'm having so much fun, and it is, I'm gonna go and rescue my mate, and I'm gonna go collect some hats, because I know you can outfit your spider with hats.
Yeah, that's cute.
It's very, very cute. And I'm gonna check out their other game if you want to check it out with me. Spug, their first name game was called Stab Stab Stab.
No, I was like, I have a couple platformers, like 2D platformers, that I actually do have to play. And I'm like, I don't want to give myself more than I already have to play, because they're not my favorite.
This is a party battle game. Of the joust variety, sort of.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'd play it with you. Okay. If I pick it up, I'll drag you into my mess.
I mean, you haven't sold me yet, but.
Yet. But yeah, that is what I have been playing, and I'm going to keep playing it, because it is a very easy game to pick up and just go with it. Mm-hmm. What have you been up to for the past week?
Wait, was that all you played?
That, well,
and you didn't even beat it? No,
well, okay, we did play the newest ship on Among Us.
Okay.
That's about the only other thing that I can update
we,
with right
we
now.
We are, like, what, 7 months late, 8 months late? It came out in March.
but we played
it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. I'll give you. I guess I'll give you that.
Thank you.
That's all you get. I beat 3 games. I guess. I think. I don't know. There's probably. It's always like the thing with me is that once I'm done them, I put them in my done full like organization on Steam, and then I uninstall them because I like to have that organized like that.
I've probably never seen this because I've never finished a game in my life.
Well, you don't get... No, I've specifically made folders on Steam. You have to specifically make them. Like, I think there's one that's just auto, your favorites or whatever, but I've made ones specifically that are, like, one's my favorite, one is my casuals, one is the ones that I just play all the time, and then one are the just the ones that I've finished and ones that I'm not finished. That's to play and done. Dunn is just like, I'm done. I played them. I beat them. I have no wish further probably to ever install it again. That's why, like, my real good section is, like, these are the ones that I really enjoyed and maybe we'll play again.
If only there was, like, a trade-in option.
Why?
If you're done and you've finished a game, you're never going to play it again. You can just
I'm fine with it. Mm-hmm. I like my collection. I like the large amount of video games I have. Makes me feel cool. It's just like how those PlayStation trophies make me feel cool. But yeah, no, I beat Deltarune, which I'd sort of been chipping away on. I felt it was shorter than I thought it was, but at the same time, I also played it in like on three different sessions sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it's potentially that like it just felt shorter because I broke it up so much, but like obviously I was like technically you would hope it would feel longer, but it was fine. I'm confused, but it's fine. I don't really want to go that much into it because I think Deltarune, Undertale are things that like people should experience on their own. But yeah, it's good. It's free. That's why you should get. Like, I mean, free games. It's very cute. It's very quirky. Music's great. Yep.
You can tell that there's a lot of love put into it.
Yeah, no, and investment. It's enjoyable. I like the different things. So I played a couple games. One I played was called Before Your Eyes, which is by, they have a cute name, Skybound Studios. Skybound Studios published it. It's by Goodbye World Games, which I think is kind of a cute name. And I had just sort of seen clips of this. I think I watched a trailer potentially. I knew that there was sort of a gimmick where it's like it webcams you, and you to forward or to interact with things, you have to blink at them. And obviously, like if you have a good decent webcam or I would assume it also works with VR, it will pick up your blinks and do stuff according to it. This was a really good mechanic. Like, I've never played a game like this, that where this is the mechanic, which is a novelty in itself. But I felt the way that they did it was really well done. So it's sort of, you start off where you're on a boat and you're presumably going somewhere to, you're with I forget what he's called, boat. No, he's just like the ferryman. And he's like this cat guy who sort of talks to you and explains that, you know, he wants you to explain the story of your life so that he can tell it to the gatekeeper, so that the gatekeeper will decide what to do with your soul, basically. And sort of whether you're worthy of passing on or becoming one of these little, there's a bunch of seagulls all around, and that's, I guess, what you become, sort of like lost souls in a way.
That seems like a suiting fate for seagulls.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. But most of the game, so these are just sort of, they're a little interspersed where you talk to the ferryman, but he sets it up sort of what you're doing. And what it starts out with is sort of, it goes to a first person view of whatever this person's first memory. I believe your name is Benny. It's bad that I don't remember it. Benjamin? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And it's sort of, it goes through the first part of, well, it goes through his life. But what you do have to keep in mind is that this is what you wanted your life to be like. This is not necessarily the truth. But the way that the mechanics are used, so you'll be given little bits to sort of blink at. One thing that I thought was kind of interesting, although I feel a little bit of a hindrance because potentially you can play this with just the space bar to advance rather than the blinking.
Okay.
There are times where you will maybe blink too fast and miss something, which, you know, like blinking, yeah, you'll miss it, which I think is like, to be honest, there's cool aspects of that. I did resort to like putting my hands over my eyes, yes, or over my webcam just because I did want to hear what was going on because it was just very interesting. and just this mechanic, you know, like, I get it. I get that that's what it's sort of about, because obviously there are parts where, you know, you won't be able to blink until something goes through or you do something.
And some of these were very long scenes as well. So how did your eyes feel?
It was really interesting. Like, one thing I will say is that I did get an emotional reaction from this game. And I think that is definitely in part to just the way that this mechanic works with closing your eyes. Because at some points, it asks you to close your eyes so you can be, and if you open them, you won't be able to hear things. It's sort of like you're closing your eyes to hear better sort of thing. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, so it forces you, the player, to actually, you can't see anything, you just hear things.
Right.
Which I think is a really interesting, like, audio experience that sort of, like, it makes me a part of the game, right? I am an active participant in this.
So, like, if you open your eyes, would you be able to see what's going on?
You can see what's going on, but the talking will stop. And you won't be able to hear. Yeah, it'll be unintelligible sort of thing. I thought this was a pretty great game. I did go into it not really knowing much about it other than there was sort of something about eyes and blinking.
Right.
My eyes did get a little sore after a little bit, but that's mostly because I was forcing myself not to blink at points because I was like, I want to know what's happening. I would say potentially it would be something that I would replay just so I could go through it without the blinking aspect, just to go through the story more.
Do they have this for VR?
I think so. I think it's a VR aspect, but I think also it just, with the webcam, it worked quite well. I was very surprised at how well it went. I highly recommend it. It's Before Your Eyes. I don't want to really spoil anything else, but it was very emotional. I thought it did, and I think that is part of, because of the mechanics of the game, but I thought that went really well. So yeah.
I will have to check this out as well, because it's been a while since I've done a gimmicky game like this.
Yeah, I thought, like, well, like, in by gimmick, whatever, mechanic.
Yeah, mechanic.
I do believe, like, I personally think that's one, it's very cool. Like, potentially, obviously, with more VR stuff or becoming more accessible, more stuff like that will be available. But this was really cool. It's also, like, it's relatively, it's not that long. Like, it's maybe an hour or two long of a game. But it was a very interesting experience. Like, obviously, I think you can make it longer depending on how you play it.
Or if you're in allergy season.
Well, or absolutely, if you made it, you could do it super short depending on what you do. But there's lots of just little things I liked about it.
Excellent.
And the other one I played and beat was The Hex, which is a game by, Daniel Mullins, who also did Pony Island, which is known for, like, I want to say it's, like, critically acclaimed, or, like, it's very well known, has positive reviews.
It's a bit of a cult hit.
I guess so. I don't even know if it's a cult hit. It's just well known. It is a game that breaks the fourth wall, Pony Island, within the terms of video games and computers and stuff. And The Hex is no different. It's funny, I was sort of reading a review and somebody said something along the lines of, like, absolutely no fourth wall breaking. And I was like, that's a lie. but The Hex basically is what happens. It takes place in a inn, sort of a pub and inn, where you are surrounded by, you start off as the barkeep and you're surrounded by, I think, six other characters. And they're all from sort of various genres of video games, potentially sort of, like, I don't want to say dead genres, but older genres, for, like, example, like, overhead shooters, like the spinny shooters from the old timeies. Oh, God.
Like Contra?
Yes, but overhead Contra. I don't know what Contra looks like. I'm going to say yes.
Oh, wait, I guess Contra's more side-scrolling, but I do know what you're talking about.
And then there's sort of like Mario / Sonic, like old school, kind of like that. Legend of Zelda, Final Fantasy-esque option. Literally walking simulator, fighting game. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, also like strat game. What is it? Real-time strategy? game sort of situation where it's like a post-apocalyptic guy. And they've all come to this place for some reason, and the barkeep tells us, the player or the whoever's watching this, that someone in this place or someone is going to be murdered.
Oh, fun. Yeah, so now we've got a murder mystery on our hands,
too. Yeah, well, it's like a pre-cog murder mystery because no one's been murdered yet. But, yeah, so you are asked, you were then given control of Super Weasel Kid, or just Weasel Kid, who is, you know, he's a character who has been in sort of like a Mario-like video game.
So an edgy, furry mascot.
Very much. It's very good because it also, so I won't go into it much, but we'll just go into the first part because it does a lot of really great things. And I would say even the first, like, part of it with Super Weasel Kid just shows a little bit of what it is. So as you're playing Super Weasel Kid, you know, people are enjoying it, or you will see Steam reviews, which was a thing that I thought was really cool. And one thing I then later on noticed is that the Steam reviews are literally from my friends, like my friends list, which I thought was just really cool utilization of Steam and its, you know, accessibility, or, well, access to information or whatever. Right. I like that. Like, yeah, maybe it's invasive, but I also thought it was really cool. It gives me another level of interactivity, or just another level of that. But sort of as you're playing, you go through the different games in Super Weasel, of Super Weasel Kid. So he has his first game, which we assume is the best, classic, whatever. Everybody loves it, right? And then we move into the next one, which adds like a fighting mechanic. Which, you know, people are not so fond of. We also made him a little edgier, you know, like he, instead of when you jump in the clouds, they giggled, now they, like, say, like, radical, and wow,
yep.
It's very good. But then also we start getting, like, negative reviews that sort of pop up along the screen and stuff. And so this game is very much fourth wall breaking. It's talking about sort of, it's talking about so many different levels. I loved the ending. It was bizarre but fantastic.
See, that's nice to hear because sometimes with games like this, the endings kind of fall flat.
Yeah, like, well, here's the thing. There's a false ending to this as well, which is really, yeah, which is really great. And the false ending is kind of just like, it's nice. It even has credits, which is really funny. But yeah, I know there's like an even secreter ending final bit thing. I have no real interest in going looking for it just because it seems hard. I'll just watch a video, but I do like that there are multiple levels to this game. It's great. Like, it does so much fourth wall breaking. And if you enjoy that, and if you enjoy like video games referencing themselves or whatever. Excellent. Like, well, not referencing themselves, but genres, the video game, the act of making video games, video game developers.
Being self-aware of what it is very and how
much,
it is.
Very much. And it works really well. Like, it did remind me in parts, like I will say in one specific part, it reminded me of the Beginner's Guide, which I think is a compliment. And also, just to be honest, thematically and sort of how people are portrayed in that, in the Beginner's Guide and in the Hex. But I think I like that. I think it works really well. And literally there's only one part that sort of reminds me of it, and it's not like
explicit.
Well, it's because it's like kind of a walking simulator, and then there's director's commentary. But I just, because I haven't played a lot of games with director's commentary ever. So
they exist, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. Fallout 76. I was gonna say 74. No, Fallout New Vegas.
Oh, okay.
We'll get there. One of them does. I'm sure most, like, quite a few do.
I'd listen to the New Vegas commentary, but for anybody else, I would just, any other Fallout, I might pass on.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's awesome that these are interesting games that we pulled up that this week.
Yeah.
I'm going to go check out The Hex because you keep recommending it to me.
I think you'd like it. It's pretty, like, it's not the longest game either. Like, it's maybe 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, but it is very interesting. I like the gameplay. They switch it up consistently. It's more of a puzzle game than anything, but...
Well, yeah, why not?
It's fantastic. It's very clever. It's funny. Yeah, it's good.
And I'm going to try and get a little further in Webbed as well.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll beat it.
Okay.
Maybe I'll make my own done folder.
Okay.
No, I'm not. You know I'm not. Anyway, okay. That's everything we got for you for this week. Keep changing.
Bye. I want to be somebody. Me 2.0 for you. And when you meet somebody, you're going to feel the same way. Say I love you before you say I'm gone. When that check comes through, I'm gonna prove you wrong in a market in a desert. Of you laughing, grip tight to raffle tickets. I've got memories, but I'm slipping. You left some people in here wondering if you'll stay here or not. You wanna make some money, give a kid to dad when he has somebody. You're gonna feel the same in his big rig out in Texas. He'll have pictures in his wallet. There's a couple pictures of you laughing, tied to raffle tickets. I've got memories.